Niners pulled off a stunning win at Lambeau Field.
Blocked up into the air and spinning inside the 10. Picked up and a touchdown. It was down the middle and good. 49ers win it.
This is the Bay Area's sports station. 95.7. The Game.
When you watch Team USA go for the gold, you don't just want Wi-Fi that's fast. You want Michaela Schifrin fast. You want Eat My Powder, Blink and You'll Miss It, I Ski faster than you drive fast. You want Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig, power all your devices and watch every single wow-worthy moment fast. You want gig speed internet from Xfinity.
Watch Team USA with Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. Or get started with Xfinity 50 megabit per second internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract. This offer ends March 31st, so go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New Xfinity Connect customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After 1 year, regular rates apply. Gig Wi-Fi requires gigabit internet and compatible gateway. Gig speed Wi-Fi is shareable across all devices. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Xfinity, proud partner of Team USA.
Are you scared to put money in your bank for fear of IRS or state seizure for taxes you owe? Are you worried about filing a return because you haven't filed in a few years? Or have you received an audit notice in the mail and don't know what to do? Then contact the law offices of Robert Goldstein today, because this is what we do. We work to stop IRS and state seizures for taxes you owe. We may be able to settle your tax debt for pennies on the dollar with an offer in compromise. We prepare past due returns, even if you have no records. We represent you before the IRS or state in an audit. I'm tax attorney Robert Goldstein, and my firm always offers a free consultation so we may openly discuss your legal options without any added pressure. We are a local firm with offices throughout the Bay Area. To schedule your free consultation, call us toll-free 1-888-TAX-EXIT. That's 888-TAX-EXIT, 888-TAX-EXIT, and make us your last stop.
Hey, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Is it true Jack in the Box has breakfast all day?
That's why we call it all-day breakfast.
And all night?
Yep.
Early evenings?
You're so close to getting it. All-day breakfast with freshly cracked eggs. Only at Jack in the Box.
Hi, this is George with New Life Property Investments, and I buy houses in cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, call me at 925-490-2000. I can pay cash and close in as little as 3 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location in the San Francisco Bay Area. I am a private real estate investor who buys several houses a month, and I want to buy yours. I buy inherited houses, divorce houses, behind in payment houses, and I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Do you have a house that is trash and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Great, because I love buying fixer-uppers too. I buy vacant houses, abandoned houses, condemned houses, and foreclosure houses. If you or someone you know is looking to sell their house and want to sell it fast, call me at 925-490-2000. That's 925-490-2000, 925-490-2000.
You've dreamed about it. Now it's time to start living the RV lifestyle. At the RV Super Sale, you'll get super pricing on travel trailers, fifth wheels, van conversions, and truck campers, as well as Class A and Class C motorhomes. The RV Super Sale takes place at the Alameda County Fairgrounds in Pleasanton, January 22nd through the 30th. Don't miss this opportunity. The RV Super Sale, January 22nd through the 30th at the Alameda County Fairgrounds in Pleasanton.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer, plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup, free, when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On a card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
I love my hardwood floors, but I wasn't sure how to take care of them. Carrying around a bucket was such a hassle. And even worse, my string mop left streaks and haze behind. Then I found Swiffer WetJet Wood, the all-in-one tool made specially for wood floors. Its microfiber-like pad is soft, and it sprays a light mist solution that dries fast. With Swiffer WetJet Wood, it's easy to keep up with the mess on my wood floors. Even that mess.
Swiffer WetJet Wood, proud member of the National Wood Floor Association.
I'm Serena Williams. You watch me live on TV.
And I'm the girl from that alien movie you watch on demand. Our worlds have been brought together thanks to DirecTV Stream.
Why are you whispering?
Because the alien will hear us.
Maybe let the alien know you can get DirecTV Stream with no annual contract.
He seems pretty excited by that, actually.
Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand with no annual contract. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com.
Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
Here at Frank's Red Hot, we've put together a completely exhaustive list of essentials that will bring everyone together on game day. Number one, Frank's Red Hot. Number two, wings. Okay, it looks like that's it. Frank's Red Hot. I put that shit on everything.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring Monte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Presented by Timeless Coffee.
This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
It was down the middle and good! 49ers win it! San Francisco is moving on with a 13-10 win here at Lambeau. And this crowd and that Packers team is stunned.
Joe Buck on the call, and it's good as gold. Robbie Gold helps send the 49ers to the NFC Championship for the second time in 3 years. Miss Shasky, before I say good morning to everybody out there on the roadways, get off their graveyard shifts. Roasters on YouTube, Twitch, and of course the Comcast Business Text Line. I just want to welcome back nice guy Stephen Lakeford. It's good to have him back in the saddle. We love you, Lakeford. It was good to hear you on the pregame show today. So, nice guy Stephen is back in the saddle, and the four horsemen are back together, baby.
Can I just hear his voice?
No. I just did for an hour.
I know, but I want to hear his voice on our show.
What, you want to hear me right here?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I miss the voice of God running the boards these days, baby, keeping us from killing each other.
I don't think he's keeping us from doing anything. I mean, let's be careful here. Nice guy is a great board op, great host, well spoken, but he ain't stopping us from killing each other on a day to day basis. I mean, that's just going to happen, Shasky. That's going to happen. But after what we witnessed Saturday and what we witnessed this past weekend, four dynamic games. Look, I know last week I was like, man, divisional round's the best weekend in sports. I didn't think it was going to be that damn good. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. We'll get to everything. We'll get to people now whining about the overtime rules once again. What I say to that is, how about you play some defense with 13 seconds left and you don't go to overtime? You deserve to lose after giving up a game time field goal with 13 seconds. But we're going to light it up tonight with the Roasters here. 888-957-9570. Niners go to Lambeau Field and steal one 13-10. Special teams. I mean, unbelievable theater at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Shasky. And we got round number three, Niners Rams. And you've said all year, oh, it's the best rivalry out there. Well, you know what? Now it's a rivalry. Now it may catapult where we were at with the 49ers Seahawks due to the last game of the season. Niners still in overtime. They go to the playoffs. And now these two teams have to battle for a trip to the freaking Super Bowl. I'll inject all this into my veins.
Well, we'll get to the Rams all week. Today, I know we're a day removed. And so, you know, for some people, they're already shifted their focus. I don't want to shift our focus to the Rams just yet. I just don't. I want to bask in the glory of Saturday night. Bonte, you know I know the history of this team. I know you know the history of this team inside and out. It's just as a franchise. I watched back that game, not twice, three times. Three times because I have a sickness, okay? I admit it. Watched it back Saturday night at 11:30 at night after everybody left the house. Watched it back again last night. Jordan Willis. He didn't just make one play in that game, which is the block, which is the greatest.
Right.
I think it's the greatest special teams play in 49er playoff history. I really do. I really do. 1973, obviously the onside kick. Everybody remembers the gaff there. 10 years ago to the day, we all remember the Kyle Williams blunder. They've had some really nice walk-off field goal wins, but to have that block in that moment of that game when your offense is doing nothing and you just got stuffed on a fourth and one, I just don't know what to say. Jordan Willis made an unbelievable play on the blocked field goal. I don't know if you saw Baldy's breakdowns, and we're going to have him on today.
Of course.
He put a hand on a guy to allow Jimmy Ward to get in there. Okay, he's the only D tackle out there. And then, obviously, he gets the block punt, which is going to be it's going to be one for the ages. We have the catch two. We've got the Vernon Post. Well, guess what? Now we have the block, period. It's very simple. The block. And he also makes an unbelievable play to flush Aaron Rodgers out of the pocket and force an errant throw after Nick Bosa gets him to leave his platform.
Right.
Jordan Willis, I mean, we talked about Amedihue the week before. Jordan Willis was an acquisition in the middle of the year last year that we all slept on. He's made plays down the stretch. It's the greatest special teams play in this organization's history. I can't believe I'm saying that.
So Jordan Willis comes over for the New York Jets. Obviously, the Niners lost Bosa, Solomon Torres last season. And he was a Big 12 player, defensive player of the year at Kansas State. Remember, we were breaking him down, like, who is this Jordan Willis guy?
Yeah.
He comes over.
And I remember when the trade
went
down.
Very good. Yeah, remember when the trade went down. And actually went down, I think, during our show.
Yes,
so,
it did.
Jordan Willis, I mean, he's going to be a legendary 49er now from here on out due to what he did on Saturday. He could do no wrong now. I thought Hufanga getting that play, getting that ball on the punt, scoring a touchdown. But I thought the bigger play for him was he was deep down the field with Davante Adams.
Thank you.
Double covered, and he did not flinch. Mm. Early in the season, he may do something errant. He may commit a pass interference. Well, the young man has grown right before our very own eyes. And how about Dante Johnson? His mother passes away in the middle of the season. He comes back to the team. And look, this guy has given us headaches. We all remember opening day last year against the Cardinals where he doesn't make a block on a punt team. Cardinals block the punt. Mm-hmm. They get momentum. Mm-hmm. Dante Johnson manning up on Davante Adams and manning up on Lazard and playing lockdown defense after Ambry Thomas couldn't go. I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow. But you know what? The studs had to come out and play too. And that was Deebo Samuel out there in the cold. Said his body hurt throughout the game. And Deebo Samuel, Kyle Shanahan rode him until the wheels fell off Saturday night. Just an all-around great team win. And yeah, we're not going to talk Rams right now. We just had to throw it out there. We'll get to Rams week.
I love it.
We got a lot of time for that. Just the win in that environment.
With the snow?
I never felt they were going to lose that football game.
See, I did.
I was just trying to figure out, how are they going to win this game? How are they going to steal it? Is it going to be Jimmy? I did not think it was going to be special teams. Unbelievable.
They started the game. And again, I didn't even remember this because the game had so many different twists and turns.
Right.
They started the game with like a 35-yard run from Jamichael Hasty on special teams after giving up a 7-0 lead. Like, all week I heard 31st-ranked special team versus 32nd. And we destroyed Hightower, the special teams coach. Bonte, from start to finish, they played a spectacular special teams game. Just go back and watch it. The Deebo Samuel return after the Jimmy Ward block to end the half.
Right.
They come running in, and Baldy, I can't wait to talk to him. He's talking about the energy going into halftime. And I'm watching these guys, and they're all fired up that they made it. And that ball bounces into Jimmy Ward's hands. He goes back for six. That's another thing. It went right back into the Green Bay hand. It should have bounced right into Jimmy Ward's hands. We almost got robbed in a sense that we didn't get a block and then six. But then Deebo Samuel setting the tone. He's such a unique runner. I'm not saying this is who he is. I'm saying there are certain guys that I've watched throughout football, my football watching life, where they sniff a 2 or 3 yard run to get a first down, and they're just going to get it. Marshawn Lynch comes to mind, where it's like Marshawn would know where that stick was. He'd get low, he'd get leverage, and you couldn't take him down. And a minus one or a minus two turns into a gain of three, and he gets the first down. Deebo is just—he's a throwback.
He's a throwback. He's a throwback player. You know, you want to talk about the block field goal. That was such a pivotal moment in that football game because, you know, Jimmy throws the interception off first and goal.
He rolls out. I think he's going to make a play.
It's just like, oh, gosh. Jimmy on no throw rears its ugly head. And then Rodgers, conversely, comes around, makes a play by extending a play, finds Aaron Jones deep down the field, wide open. Jimmy Ward blows the coverage, and the hustle The hustle to track him down was huge because they said, you know, the Packers, they go up 14-0 and it feels like that game's over. 14-0 feels like, all right, that may be too much to overcome.
Might as well have been 35-0.
But, yeah, right? no doubt. But you get the block field goal and you're still down one possession. One possession. That sequence of plays was just archaic. I mean, it was unbelievable. The fact that they hustled, tracked down Jones, you block the field goals, Debo comes out, you get 3 points, you stabilize the game. And the defense, after they gave up that touchdown on the first drive, that defense was unbelievable. Unbelievable. This just stuffed the run in the second half. I think Green Bay Shasky in the second half averaged 2.5 yards per play.
Wow.
2.5 yards per play in the second half.
After basically going right down the field. That first drive was a clinic. They were throwing to Devontae. Aaron Jones was getting yardage. I thought there was a block in the back that they didn't call early in that game that gave him a big-time run. Dylan is dancing in the end zone. And then at the end of the game, he's on the bench hurt. I thought Fred Warner on the second drive punching that ball out from Mercedes Lewis. Mm-hmm. To me, that kind of sparked life. Now, in my estimation, I don't know what happened with the offense, but they gave up sack after sack after sack. And then in the third drive, Jimmy makes two unbelievable throw dimes to get first downs. One has got touchdown written all over it. George Kittle, just a drop. Just an unbelievable drop. Jennings would have a drop later on in the game. A drop later on. And then Ayuk, just a fumble. Just like a catch and a fumble. We were so lucky that wasn't ruled a catch and fumble. I thought it could have gone either way. I mean, I thought it could have gone either way. Jimmy, bang, bang, makes two perfect throws. And guys don't make plays. I mean, I know that ball was like a rock out there. It's very difficult to catch. Jimmy starts 0-for-5. And then Kittle, on I believe with a fourth or fifth possession, makes one of the great Kittle catches of all time along the sideline to kind of get some life going for the team. And I don't know, man. It was just that felt like an unreal matchup. The thing I kept watching as I'm watching it back, Aaron Rodgers running the ball and going away from the throw, to me, was like, what are you doing? I thought you guys were in complete control early on, and they got out of rhythm trying to run, and our linebackers adjusted and our D-line adjusted, and they became much more stout. Take away the stats from the first drive. We were lights out after that game.
It was a body bag game, and I thought the defense, even on that first drive, they came out hitting.
Yes.
They came out hitting on Saturday night. And I'm telling you, quarterbacks, I don't care if you're Mahomes, Allen, Brady, and Rodgers. You saw Brady and Rodgers this weekend.
Ugh.
You put pressure on these guys, and they start throwing low. They start throwing behind receivers. They can't wait to get the ball out of their heads. Aaron Rodgers, even on their final snap, where they throw an incompletion, Josh Norman's in the game. One of those plays, and they go right at him. Bro. We're all praying there. But he had Lazard wide open.
Did you see that?
Kwon, dude, he was wide open.
Was
but
Jimmy,
you know what?
Would we not be crushing him? Why are we not crushing
Rodgers
Aaron Rodgers?
He deserves to be crushed because he locked in on Devontae, locked in on Aaron Jones, and he lost trust in the rest of his teammates. He lost trust. And you know what? That's something to look out for next week against the LA Rams because it looks like Stafford not only trusts Cooper Kupp, but he's gaining trust in Odell Beckham Jr. and obviously Van Jefferson, which makes the Rams a lot more dynamic. Yeah. But again, we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's get out to the lines here, Shasky. Armando in Fairfield. Mondo, what's happening? Monster Monday here on the Morning Roast. How you feeling this morning?
Oh, man, I feel like I was like, this game took 20 years out of my life. But you know what? I want to give a shout-out to the defense, man.
Yes.
Eric Armstead, are you kidding me? Even shout-out to Josh Norman, that two plays you play, the first play, they go at you, and you still have the, I mean, sorry, I know it's regular, the balls to cover Devontae Adams. I mean, that's a great shout-out. But the reason I'm calling also is, I don't know what you guys think. I read Carl Comey's article this weekend, and it said it perfectly, and I just want to, you know, see what you guys think. Mm. This team represents Jimmy G's leadership, resiliency. You look at all the quarterbacks this weekend, the Chiefs play like Mahomes on all that moxie.
Mm.
Bills, you know, with Josh Allen, you know, Dak represents, you know, his leadership, or the up and down represents the Cowboys. But Jimmy G just, and then Bosa said it the best this weekend. With all the crap he gets, I mean, this is his team. This is a perfect leadership for this year. I mean, this is the perfect team for him. So, I mean, bring on the Rams. I mean, they're soft. I mean, I ain't worried about them, but, you know, I just want to know what you guys think about that. I mean, this is what he represents.
Hey, Mondo, great call, man. It's very interesting because I saw a lot of that floating. And, you know, people are going to look at the numbers. They're going to say, well, he was only 11-19, 131 yards, and an interception. Could have had about four pick sixes. He threw some ones up to the sideline. We're like, oh, no, Jimmy.
He floated a couple.
Just relax a little bit. Just relax a little bit. But you know what? The guy, we don't know how bad that thumb is injured. We don't know how bad that shoulder is. But he does have a moxie to him. When he needed to make some throws, he made some throws, and he got him in a field goal range and win that football game. It's not the prettiest. You know what I'm saying? You watching Mahomes and Josh Allen, you're saying, my God, I want one of those guys. I want a quarterback who can do all that. But you know what? It is what it is. This guy may be the perfect quarterback for this football team. He may be. I mean, kudos to him because, look, they didn't give him help early on, Chasky.
No, they didn't.
Did he went through a rut?
Yeah.
Did they all kind of bounce back there, and you did what you had to do? I ain't mad at Jimmy. I mean, the teammates speak of him, Chasky.
Yeah.
They all say he's the leader. I'm going to listen to the teammates. They're in that locker room day in and day out. I'm not. You're not. Nobody is, except for those 53 players and that coaching staff. So there is something to him being the leader of this football team.
You know, it's an interesting question. Regarding Eric Armstead, as a quick aside, I thought it was his signature game in a 49er uniform, given everything that this guy's been through and, you know, the early injury history, everybody doubting him. Oh, you paid him instead of DeForest Buckner. I think these last 6, 7, 8 weeks makes me realize, you know what? They paid the right guy. But here's the thing. They paid the right guy. I think he was playing the wrong position. He's not an end. He's an inside guy. He's dominating. I mean, he's just been absolutely dominating, and he made unbelievable plays. I mean, on the big-time sack to end the Green Bay Packers' hopes, they had a guy wide open in the flat, you know, and he gets his big old polar bear arms on him and wraps him in. Forget Jimmy for a second, and I'm not trying to diminish Jimmy. I think this team has taken on the characteristic of their two best players. If you're asking me right now, who are the two best players on the 49ers right now? I think it's the two guys they drafted in the first, second round in 2019, who they're going to extend. Ian Rapoport came out with a report saying they're going to give a massive extension to the second round pick Deebo Samuel because they don't have that fifth year option like they do with the first rounder, Nick Bosa. Deebo and Nick Bosa. That's who this team has modeled their game after. You look at the physicality, and it goes right from their GM and their coach. What does the coach want to do? He wants to run the ball down your throat. What's the GM come from? That old school, I'm going to thump you on defense, you know, mentality. And I think Deebo and the physicality that he plays with embodies everybody on offense. I am going to push you into the ground. How about Trent Williams coming in motion, and I'm going to kill Rashawn Gary? How about George Kittle blocking someone into the second level and third level? Now I look at Bosa, relentlessness, the relentless pursuit. So we could say Jimmy, I'd go to the two leaders because I think they're the two best players on the team, Deebo Samuel right now and Nick Bosa.
They're no doubt the two best players, and they do take on those personalities. But Jimmy, look, man, there's something to Jimmy, man. There's something to him, man. When he's in this lineup, they win football games. I'm dead serious. Saturday night, I never thought they were losing that football game. I never once thought they were losing that football game. Not one time. I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I'm stress watching because I'm like, come on, man, get that drive. I never thought
fourth
they were losing
one.
That football game.
Okay, so I'm going to take you through my household. I got a bunch of people
fourth
over.
Fourth and one. I thought it was, hey, look, I thought it was a great play call on fourth and one.
Elijah Mitchell, go watch right.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell did not hit the right hole.
Agreed.
It was actually a perfect play call.
But Debo's not on the field, okay? Trent Williams is limping, all right? And you're going to run him in motion. Everything would have been up for criticism all offseason. Let's keep it 100. You're down 10-3. You go for it on fourth and one. You're thinking, this is it. This is the final drive because you're seeing how the game is going, how the clock is ticking, and you don't get it. You get stuffed. I'm sorry, my heart was broken. I'm like, oh, my God. And the defense steps up and forces a three and out. I believe he targets Josh Norman on, the second play, a little soft run. And then, boom, they throw to him. And you're like, please, dear God, don't throw the pass interference. They don't. And then the Hufanga play that you're talking about, it just – this defense, their ability to get stops in that game after getting right down. They went right down the field on that first drive. They adjusted. DeMeco Ryans, dare I say it? He's way better than what Robert Saleh was. And I'm not trying to rip Robert Saleh. They're both great. DeMeco in year one has shown unbelievable growth.
Dude, I'm worried about him getting a head coaching job
right now. Get the book out. Get the checkbook out.
John Lynch, keep this guy here in San Francisco. Look, we're going to have a lot of fun today. 888-957-9570. How about those resilient 49ers? They're going back to the NFC Championship game for the second time in 3 years. Unreal. Going back to the title game in SoFi Stadium against the LA Rams. The Comcast Business Text Line is always open at 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Exergen Corporation. More Niner talk. They beat the Packers Saturday night. How you feeling, Roasters? How you feeling, faithful? Niners in the NFC Championship game. They're one game away from the Super Bowl. Can you believe it? We're going to discuss it all right here on the Morning Roast.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Bonte and Shasky.
Ooh, what a game. What a game on Saturday. What a weekend of football. Niners are going back to the NFC Championship game. Cannot believe it with this roller coaster of the season. They're now one of the hottest teams in football, winning 9 of their last 11. And they had to have them all. They had to have them all just to be in a tournament. Well, they're in a tournament right now, wrecking shop. And they'll be in L.A. next Sunday with a chance to go back to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years against the LA Rams. But first, before we get back into 49ers football and take your phone calls, it is now time to take them back to school, Shasky. Warriors win last night, 94-92 over the Utah Jazz. That's right, it's time for taking them to school, presented by Evergreen Valley College. Langford, hit the highlight.
Wiggins over to Porter. Porter waiting. Slipping the pick was Poole. Poole stops, goes up with a little flip. It's up and no good. Looney with the rebound. Put back good and a foul! Muscled his way up and in.
Big play by Looney. He continues to play solid basketball for the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors improved to 34-13. And Shasky, that was taking them to school, which happens the morning after every game paid for by Evergreen Valley College. Home of free tuition for the 2022 spring semester. Look, the Warriors are in a bit of a rut right now. They needed a game winner from Steph's Friday night against the Rockets. Last night, they survived, scoring 11 points in the fourth quarter, Sasky. 11 points in the fourth quarter. But Looney, there you hear him. 10.6 rebounds. Jordan Poole with the team high. 20 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 threes. He had to pay off a debt by walking into Chase Center.
I saw
that. Bang-bang Niner game, Shane. So, look, it's not looking pretty right now for the Warriors, but bottom line business, 34-13. We'll concern ourselves with the Clay injury tomorrow. We'll concern ourselves with Draymond Green tomorrow. But they still won against the Jazz, and I'll take that all day long.
I'll be as quick as possible. Looney has played really, really, really well over the last month. I know there's a couple of games you can isolate and say he didn't, but just rebounding, consistency, finishing last night around the rim, and then how about him screaming and yelling, like you never see him right. Do that. Secondarily, thank God Jordan Poole is starting to get going. I think he's more important than Klay Thompson right now. We can have that discussion at a later time and date.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Wiggins with 14 points. Steph Curry in the month of January shooting 34%
something's
from
up.
The 3-point line.
I mean,
dipped even lower.
I don't want to hear people dilute it. Like, just watch what we're seeing. Is it a blip? Is it a bad month? I don't know. Something's up though, B. I don't know.
You know, 5-20, 1-13 for the 3-point line. I just think he's taking too many threes, personally.
Oh, well, I've been.
I would like
that.
To see him go inside the arc and take some mid-range jumpers because he's automatic for the mid-range with the floater, the elbow jumper. Mm-hmm. He's averaging at least 13 three attempts a game this year, which is a career high. I just think it's a little too much, man. It's been trending that way for the last 6 weeks.
So I know that the numbers, like the analytic nerds are going to tell you, if you shoot 33% from three, it's better than shooting 50% from two. And I hear everything that they're saying when it comes to the math. There's also a feel, all right? You cannot tell me a jacked up three is a better look than a wide open mid-range, right? You just can't. And I don't care what anyone says. So can we dig a little deeper than just bombing threes? I feel at times this team is in love with the three-pointer. Jordan Poole has kind of, he's getting better. Last night was better, but it felt like he was getting out of going to the rim, hitting the mid-range. I'm going to try to step back and bomb the three.
And get to the line.
What?
Get to the line, too, because Jordan Poole shoots 90% from the free throw line. And they're a team that's in the mid-20s when it comes to free throw attempts. They got to get more easy buckets, get to the cup, and get to the free throw line.
And I think I go back to Curry because I actually think right now this team does not need Curry bombing threes. They need Curry to continue to play more general court point guard. That they don't have that guy right now. He's doing a good job. I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying I need more of it. I want more of the Chris Paul for this team. He needs to facilitate more for others to get them going and let his shot come to him. There's a moment they're up 4 or 5 last night and he just chucks a three. And normally it's a great shot for him. He's not hitting those kill shots. We go up 8, game goes away. Those are the shots I feel like he's missing. Go to the rim.
Yeah, go to the rim. But the Warriors win. They improved to 3-1 on a 7-game homestand. They'll take on the Mavericks Tuesday night. They're 1-6 against the Mavericks in their last 7. So Warriors got a lot of work to do. They got to get to the All-Star break. 34-13, still second in the Western Conference as they try to figure out their new rotations, get everybody back in rhythm. It's all good, Warrior fans. It's all good, and especially all good with 49er fans right now. Let's go to Dominic and Pinal. Then we'll get to Chambry out in Arizona. Dominic, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Hey, what's going on, Big Bonte? I love you, man. Keep on doing the good work that you do. Shasky, I just want to hear you stop dogging out Jimmy, man. Stop dogging him out. Right now, you're talking about the two most valuable players on the team. And what about the quarterback?
Of course the quarterback's
props. Just give him his props, man.
I said that he played a good game in the first half.
We're going to win it. No, man. Come on, Shasky. You always just dogging him out, man. Get a guy a break. When you go up to Pittsburgh next year, you're going to be like, oh, man, we should have kept him.
I will not.
Just give him his props. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah, I've been giving him his props all year. Have you been listening? Like, again, I have. I've been giving him. They scored 0 points offensively. That's not an indictment of him. He hit Kittle over the middle early in the game, and Kittle had a huge drop. That's 6 points. The coach schemed a perfect throw, and Jimmy ripped it right down the middle on target. And Kittle just dropped it, hit him right in the shoulder pads. It was shades of Vernon Davis. He hits Juwan Jennings for a big-time first down. He drops it. Threaded the needle. Hits Brandon Ayuk for a big-time first down. He drops it. Early in the game, Jimmy was the only one actually making plays. I felt like as the thumb or whatever, the shot wore off, he started to float some balls. But then when they needed him to hit guys on the final drive, on that little angle route to Debo, on a great throw to George Kittle, he was there. Yeah. Like, he was there. No. By the way. Hell of a scheme by Kyle Shanahan to put Debo in that spot to have wide open play for them. Look, and Jimmy was good when they needed him to be. Like, I'm giving him his love.
Shanahan was in his bag Saturday night. I thought Shanahan has been flawless for the most part in this postseason. There's a couple plays in the Dallas game that I wish he would have back. But I thought Saturday night he was flawless. He felt the game. He felt the rhythm of the game. I thought he called a really, really sharp game. Kyle Shanahan has galvanized his team, man. And Shanahan deserves his flowers. He definitely does. Let's go to Chambry real quick in Arizona. Chambry, what's happening? You're on the roast here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Before I start, welcome back. Nice guy, Steven, man. Love to have the crew back.
Yes.
Glad to hear voice back on the radio again.
No doubt.
Good evening, gentlemen. Obviously, Jack, just as every fan is about the W, like you said, Bonte, I never thought we were going to lose. I was just waiting, lack of a better word, for the pin to drop for us to get scoring. But I knew it was a matter of time. Man, I know, Bonte, getting back to you, I know you like to call it snitching music. As you have a young daughter now, you'll learn it's just called music that you listen to now that you have a kid. So can we just play some Justin Bieber? Is it too late now to say I'm sorry to these Niners for questioning? I'll say his name, Eric Armstead, who's been balling out 3 weeks in a row. Dante Johnson. Called him out.
Wow.
All season. Been saying the dude can't cover a receiver if they were in a phone booth. Let's give them all props. Let's give the special teams their props. This team has kind of been, it's been a minute since I've been out to Great America. I don't know if it's still there, but this team is kind of like the Grizzly roller coaster, right?
At it times, is.
Just unsafe, a little bit rocky, but it still gets the job done. That's what these Niners are. So let's go, faithful.
No doubt about that. It has been a roller coaster. We're going to continue to talk about this roller coaster. The resilient San Francisco 49ers. Somehow, some way, when you dig back to the Colts game, When you think back to the Cardinals loss to Colt McCoy. Heck, when you think back to Seattle when they lost 33-30. Heck, when you think about the Tennessee game on Christmas Eve Eve. This team is one game away from the freaking Super Bowl. Let's talk about it. Niners beat the Packers 13-10. They'll take on the LA Rams next Sunday, and it's all coming up on the game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
And that's five sacks for this defense in each of the last three games, and it's blocked up into the air and spinning inside the 10. Picked up and a touchdown. Hufanga got the return for the touchdown after the block by Jordan Willis and the special teams.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Bonte and Shasky.
Joe Buck got a call for Fox Sports. Hufanga picks up the loose ball after Jordan Willis blocks the punt, and the Niners go on to the NFC Championship game. They tie the game right there at 10 apiece. Of course, they hold the Packers to a 3-and-out. They get the ball back, set up Robbie Gould, who is now a perfect 20-for-20 on postseason field goal attempts. You want to talk about clutch. Wow. Wow. And as Shasky said there, and I agree with him, that is the most iconic special teams play in playoff history for the 49ers. I can't think of one. It's been a lot of blunders. It's been a lot of missed kicks. There's a lot of fumbles, missed tackles. Those two plays, the field goal block before halftime and the punt block right there. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Special teams, a unit we've ridiculed all season long, Shasky. They come up big in the divisional round against the Packers.
And it feels like individual players playing great and just being in the right position. And then schematically, little subtle moves that they made. I mean, just it's really remarkable. Again, go back and watch. They give up the 7 points. And Hasty returns one all the way out to the 40. And I'm thinking, yeah, I just forgot about that because they went 3-and-out. You know, I totally forgot about it. Debo brings one all the way out to the 50 to start the second half. Like, they were excellent all game long. And just Jordan Willis. Bonte, how long was that ball in the air? How long was
it? It was in the air forever. Forever.
I didn't know if it was going out of bounds. I didn't know if the Green Bay Packer was going to pick it up and run with it. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen. And, like, the entire room was like, screaming as the ball's up in the air. And then when it lands and Hufanga picks it up, you just start dancing and celebrating. It's you'll always remember where you were when that happened. And I'm getting these vibes. They feel like a team of destiny. Could it end? Of course. I sound absurd. Right. I understand. But it does feel like a team of destiny. The last 3 weeks, second half against LA, the whole game against Dallas, this game against Green Bay, there's something magical that's happening. And I don't know where this thing is going to end. It could end this weekend. It could end in the Super Bowl. They could lose. They could win. Right. I don't know. This is one of my favorite seasons of all time. And that moment will live forever. The catch two, they didn't win the Super Bowl. The Vernon Davis post, they didn't win the Super Bowl. That moment in Lambeau in the snow, it's an all-time moment.
You know, there's four markets right now who feels like they feel like they're all team of destinies. Ram fans feel it.
Of course.
Chief fans
of
feel
course.
It. Bagel fan feel it. They feel it. We feel it. They could be a team of destiny. It's been a roller coaster over a year. Is it my favorite 49er season of all time? I'm not going to sit up here and lie to the masses and say that it is. I still love the 2011 team. That was a lot of fun. But the roller coaster ride that this has been, it's been unlike any other season. Like, in 88, I know a lot of people were coming about 88 when they went 10-6 and they advanced to the Super Bowl and beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They had the quarterback controversy, Steve Younger, Joe Montana. This probably feels just like that for a lot of people who are old enough to endure that 88 season. I was only 6 years old, so I didn't really get it. I just remember watching the games, and whether or not the Niners won or lost, I didn't know anything about the quarterback controversy. I was reading about it, but I couldn't comprehend it. This season feels unlike any other season that I've experienced with the 49ers, Shasky.
They started 6-5 that year, and they were kind of floundering. They didn't know which direction they were going in. Montana was hurt. Started the year hurt, I believe, and was coming in and out of the lineup, and then replaced Steve Young in the second week against the New York Giants. It was a yo-yo year. I look at this year, B, and it's just the amount of people that they've lost that I were guys that, like, hey, if they're going to have a good year, player, you know, D Ford has to be healthy all year. Well, that hasn't happened at all. Now, if they're going to have a great year, Javon Kinlaw really needs to take this monumental step forward. And that really didn't happen this year. You know, Brandon Ayuk from day one is going to have to be an absolute stud. That didn't happen either. Raheem Mostert's going to have to run the rock for this team. Well, he's out for the year. Like, everything that you look at for the checklist, it seems like it went off course, on off schedule, and yet here we are. And to, again, that game, we could talk about Debo and Bosa, Jimmy Garoppolo and all that. To me, that's on, I'm telling you, that was a culture win. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the type of players that they've brought in, Jimmy, Debo, Bosa, Fred Warner, Al Shaier, you know, Greenlaw, all these, Sufanga. To me, that was a culture win. That was a chemistry win because they went there united. They could have folded five, six, seven times in that game. They got stuffed on fourth and one. They get the ball back. Like, I can't get over the word that you keep saying for 4 weeks now, resilience. And I think it goes back to the team that these guys have built, this front office and this coaching staff.
Resiliency, man. Debo Samuel, 142 all-purpose yards, 39 rushing, 44 receiving, 59 kick return yards, and then where with the Shanahan, right? Debo Samuel, that final sequence of plays. Third and seven.
It's such a sick
People
round.
Are ready to go crazy. And Debo willed himself to an 8-9 yard gain there. Just tough running in that situation to get the game-clinching first down. They set up Robbie Gold. They don't even try to move the ball up. They just say, you know what? We're going to position it right here to get Robbie Gold a 45-yarder, and boom, the ball goes through the uprights. He's now 20-for-20 in his playoff career. Unbelievable. Let's go back out to the Lions, man. 888-957-9570. What's up?
We take kicking for granted, and then I'm watching that Ram-Buck game. Perfect conditions.
Yeah.
And a kicker comes up 10 yards short on a field goal.
Matt Gay.
Take kicking for granted, and we expect Robbie Gould to hit.
Nobody takes kicking for granted. No, I disagree with that.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying I do think at times we take it for granted.
No, kicking's very, very important, man. We stress over kicking. You know what I'm saying? And kicking is... nobody's underestimating it. Robbie Gold, you get all the flowers. Thank the heavens he was able to nail those kicks. Let's go to Javier Vacaville. Javier.
Long time no talk. Let's go.
Javier, how you doing, my man?
How you doing, Mr. Hill, Mr. Shasky? How are you guys doing, man?
What up?
Long time no talk, man. I missed you.
You know, I've just been busy. You know, I got, you know, my career, you know, my own football team I'm running and everything. But, hey, you know, I'm always watching in the shadows. And, you know, first things first, you know, I sent a few videos to Shasky over the weekend just because, you know, me and my dad watching the game. And, you know, I'm not like you said, Mr. Hill, he's my favorite 49ers season of all time. But I think through these three complimentary weeks that we've seen, me being a four-year college football player, four-year high school football player, and being a fifth-year coach, the locker room morale is something that you learn as a player and coach, and they've shown through the Tennessee game, the Arizona game, the Seattle game, the Green Bay game, every game that they've, the Indianapolis Colts game, every game that they have so to speak, blew, that, you know, could be that backbreaker to the season, they've shown grit, they've shown unity, there's a brotherhood in there. And that comes from inside, man. It starts from the top. Shanahan's built, like what you said earlier, that resilience, because a lot of teams I've played for have either went for better or for worse when games like that happen throughout a season. But this has happened five different occasions. Mm-hmm. They're down 17-0 in the game to get in, and they came back and won. The Dallas game with the numerous mistakes we've made, even with the Green Bay game, everybody and their mama wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers and their blown game and Davante Adams and this, that, and the third. No one wants to talk about what the Niners are doing defensively, especially if, like, yeah, Garoppolo has the best game. But in the day, the representation of his leadership and who he is as a player. And before we talk about 2022, because we don't need to, just understand Shanahan needs to get credit, not just for what he's coaching, because he's obviously coaching probably the best he's ever coached in his 5 years in San Francisco, but what he's built in that locker room. Because that is a testament to what they believe in, not just the team, but in him. Because they, no matter what down, what day, they're going to keep fighting. I'm not saying every game, but they're not going to ever fold week, and then the week after that, or the week after that. They said, I'm going to fight to the end, and now they're in the NFC Championship game. Like, whether we win the Super Bowl, win the NFC Championship game or not, hey, it's been a hell of a season, fellas. Like,
it really has.
Great call, Javier. It's been a successful one. And it's funny. I was thinking about this over the weekend, Shasky, all the arguments we had midway through the year. Like, what is success for you? And I'm yelling, they got to get at least to the title game. They got to get to the title game. I didn't believe they would get to the title game. But they're here in the title game. And therefore, I believe this season has been a big-time success. Resiliency, man. I keep going back to that. Shanahan growing as a head coach. John Lynch growing as a GM. D'Amico Ryan's growing right in front of our eyes and coaching up this defensive unit where they're rolling out Dante Johnson in a divisional round game with Devontae Adams, the best wide receiver in all of football, staring him in the face. I mean, K'Wall Williams is beat up. He's not the same player he was earlier in the year. He's dealing with things. Emmanuel Mosley's back. I mean, his defensive front just stepping up at the right time, coming up with five stacks in each of the last three games and countless pressures on the quarterback. It's really a fun team to be proud of, man. And Jimmy Garoppolo, look, he didn't have the eye-popping stats, but considering the quarterback controversy and the quarterback position that gets ridiculed day in and day out in this league, Jimmy's still standing, man. He's still standing, and I don't want to ever hear anybody say that he's mentally soft, because he's proven the opposite, Shasky. He's proven the opposite this year.
No. Mentally soft is not, no. No one would say that. No one would say he's not tough. Those are what he hangs his hat on, in fact, I think, and being one of the guys. I think he's absolutely one of the guys, and his teammates clearly love him. It's the late throws into the flat that drive you maddening. It's that interception in the red zone where he's scrambling out right. You just can't turn the ball over in those situations, the decision-making. But today's not the day to criticize Jimmy G. He's helped them and been at the helm of why they're winning. And I think the numbers don't reflect how good he actually played in that game because of all the drops from his teammates. And I think we also forget, before that 4th-and-1, he threw a dime to Jennings, and Jennings made a ridiculously tough catch and got stuffed short by like a half a yard on that 3rd down. He was going to convert on that 3rd down. He hits Kittle. He hits